So we are recording whenever you're ready.
Wow, they moved the podium.
What's his name, Dick Minutes? He's not here? Dennis, is he not in a... Is Dennis not on our...
He's
out of town.
Guy from Southwest, you know, when they were...
They have excused absence.
Yeah?
Dennis has an excused absence.
A couple days before, I think about, he got stuck in front. And they said it's a mechanical problem.
I'm pretty sure.
So it's...
We good?
6:31, we're on.
Let's start?
If you want to start.
All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm filling in for...
Take the mic.
I should probably take the mic. Thank you, sir. There we go. Welcome, everyone, to the March 2019 Traffic Commission. I'm Jeff Mishkin, filling in for my colleague, Bart. I think we'll do a quick call to order. Mr. Dorans? Present. Ms. Schaefer?
Present.
Mr. Tears.
Tears?
Tears?
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Mishkin.
Mr.
Hughes.
Yep.
Brazil.
And staff. Yep. Here's Bart right here. Okay. Bart's present too. He can resume. We're doing the call to order.
Next up on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from January 9th, 2019.
I read this on my phone because I was out of town until just a couple hours ago. I noticed quite a few misspellings and things.
Jane, can you pull the microphone up because the minutes are going to be recorded off the audio and I just want to make sure
right.
It's...
Sorry. I read these minutes on my phone because I was out of town until a couple of hours ago, and I just noticed quite a few misspellings and corrections, but I haven't had time to mark them up. But otherwise, I think it's okay.
Anybody else have any concerns about the minutes as written?
No.
No. Probably moving forward, we will, from Mr. Fuller's minutes, we will probably edit those minutes following his submittal.
Okay. Yeah,
perfect.
Just mine, thanks.
Sounds like plan. Mm-hmm. All those, did you make a motion to?
Move to accept the minutes as presented.
Second?
Yep.
Second. We have a motion to move the minutes, to approve the minutes as written.
So Zorns was the motion. Who's
second?
Second.
Okay.
Michigan,
I made the motion, and Mr. Michigan.
Yep.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Next on the agenda.
Bart.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple of announcements before we get to the agenda items.
All righty. We have some announcements from Mr. Tate.
Beginning announcement, we would like to welcome Commissioner Jared Tears to our panel here. He's a new commissioner, so he will make our commission now full. We have no missing members. Also, I'd like to introduce our traffic engineer, Ms. Kelly Schaefer, from Lockmiller Group. So she will be here with us tonight. So,
welcome to you. Thank you for being here tonight.
Is it my also our community development director is here?
Nice to meet y'all, Clifford Cross, planning and development director, and I'm sure we'll be working closely when it comes time to look at our comprehensive plan. So you'll probably see a lot of it.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all.
All right, the first item on the agenda is the Forsyth 1 hour parking. And that is on page one. And the applicant is here this evening, Councilman Jeffrey Hales, his counterpart, sometimes better half.
Mr. McMahon is not here. Mr. Tate or Mr. Hales, would you like to introduce the request?
Last year, we had this request come in through the Traffic Commission concerning the parking problems that were existing in the 700 block of Forsyth, actually. And with that, we determined to do a survey to survey those residents that live in those apartments that are facing Forsyth to see what their ideas were about doing a one-hour parking in front of those homes. Because there are businesses there that use those parking spaces, and also there are residents there that use those parking spaces as well. And so we did a survey, and the results came back pretty much 50-50. We got five results back from five residents. So we had, of course, two yes, and then there was two disagrees. And then one that actually gave another proposal for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. one-hour registration. We brought this back to the Traffic Commission to see what we would like to do in front of the 7300 block of Forsyth. My idea was to maybe not have a one-hour parking, but maybe just have a two-hour parking for that portion, because that does not give those patrons of those businesses enough time to actually sit, eat, and get back to their cars in enough time. And we would like to, so Mr. Hales has any comments?
I just had a question, and that is, how many surveys were sent out?
We sent surveys to each building in connection to those buildings for the 7331 through 7301.
Looks like
nine, but are there multiple tenants in each
building? Right, and each one that has an address got a letter, actually. So.
Yeah, I think 7331 is a four-family, and I think the rest are two-family.
So there would roughly be 20 surveys, well, give or take.
So, what are those three buildings without numbers on them?
They're in the middle?
It's probably 7315, if I was to guess that address.
Yeah, those are all residential, I believe.
They're
all of them.
They're actual buildings right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Comments?
So when was this initially brought up? You said a year ago, correct?
Not quite a year ago.
Last year sometime. Was there a resident that brought this up, or was it more just...
It was a resident initially. Well, it was a resident and Mr. Arnold. So we had a resident here speak on our behalf.
Steve Arnold.
Yeah, Steve Arnold brought it to the Traffic Commission several times over the last 2 years. The proposal, I believe, was a residential parking permit system. The challenge is there are property owners who are required to sign the petition who live out of state. The other concern was that would have prohibited, under the residential parking permit system, would have prohibited customers from being able to come have lunch at Kruger's or the Colleen's or that kind of thing. So that's kind of where this was all born.
So the businesses are directly across the street from there, or the businesses started at 7280? I'm trying to remember what's right there.
No, so directly to the west, which is to the left of 7331, is where Collins Cookies is.
That's right here. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm getting my bearings.
Yeah.
Crazy Bowls. Salon. Pizza. Vacancy. Right.
Fire Station.
Very good.
And so they have the people across are also apartments. Like that 73.
Most of those are across the street are mainly condos.
Well, it's two way this here.
Have the businesses been surveyed at all or no?
That's
because they're the ones that would possibly potentially be most negatively affected by this. Who was the concern for as far as the
residents?
But the people that surveyed were residents, but I'm saying, like one of them said, they're driving parking behind all the residents for the owners and tenants to use, so they wanted unrestricted parking, almost like who were they wanting it for, just visitors and guests?
That's good.
The what was proposed, and Councilman McMahon and I, we're okay with an hour and a half, 2 hours. But the, I think the only negative impact for the businesses would be for their employees who are getting there at 7 o'clock in the morning and parking there until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The intent of this was to make sure that those who park are customers, that the customers have a place to park, which is kind of a challenge right now because the employees are the first ones there and they're parked closest to the business, so the employee or the customers have to park farther away.
So refresh my memory, it feels like we obviously talked about this before, but where were the employees then supposed to park?
I think the business owners probably should think about providing parking. I did have a conversation with representatives of WashU, and we actually discussed the specific instance, and I said, you know, it would be a big help if some of those businesses could take advantage of parking on the lot where Bally's was, and, you know, it's just tremendously underutilized right now. And they expressed a willingness to, whether it be through a lease or something, to be able to provide additional surface parking, particularly for employees, was the focus, because that's who would be displaced.
I guess that's the only concern then, like, I don't want to have backlash from the business owners to come back and say, hey, our employees can't park anywhere now.
Right. There's also, I think, unrestricted parking, at least currently, on Del Lynn, next to the apartments, I believe, on their apartments on both sides of Del Lynn.
Do you know if there's an agreement or arrangement to park on the MetroLink lot?
There is no MetroLink.
I mean, with the Bally's, would that be?
Yeah, that's all owned by the university.
Is that still Washington? So,
okay. Yeah, so that would be something that, that I think the business owners would have to arrange with WashU. I think WashU, from the conversations back in July, they were very open to that. I suspect they're still very open to that.
Mr. Arnold, he owns a business there?
No, he owns one of the properties. I think his is 7305. It's like the second one in from Manhattan. But the problem does extend beyond that. He talked about, and I've seen myself as I drive through there regularly, people parking on the street, taking suitcases out, going to the MetroLink, and then using the MetroLink to commute. And that is something that the council's talked about in the context of WashU, our streets being used as like long-term parking or daily parking, in, particularly in neighborhoods, is something that I think most of the council has made comments of opposition to that kind of use of a public street in a neighborhood for daily type commuter parking.
Can't you just put a sign, no overnight parking or no commuter parking or something, and that would that solve that?
I think if you said no overnight parking, then you'd be impacting the residents who frankly want to. But I think that's where an hourly restriction would address the no daily parking.
Can you even do a targeted parking restriction like that? I mean, you either park on the street or you can't park on the street, as far as I can see. You can't really say these people can't park on the street, these people can, unless they're residents, obviously. The residents are their priority. But
We do have hourly parking restrictions on, I forget what block of Linden.
Hourly, I understand the whole thing of hourly.
Oh, you're just
thinking you couldn't, for instance, say, you know, no construction worker parking or something like that specifically, can you or can't you? Can you target that sort of thing?
In other words, a restriction on the particular users, like as opposed to residential parking permit area?
Well, for instance, there's a lot of people in the area right around the Centene building project. And Clayton, I understand, as well as perhaps on the U City side, who are getting the construction workers parking in their on their streets because there's no place for them. And this is sort of a similar situation when you have people, you know, can you even say something like no MetroLink parking or something? It seems like you'd have to either do it by a time restriction or not do it. I don't know what the legalities of it are.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with any restrictions that are limited to certain segments of the population.
Right. Okay. I understand.
You know, like, for instance, no MetroLink, but everybody else. No. I think the way you would regulate that would be by permits. And we, you know, when you want to limit it to certain users, it's usually done in the context of a residential parking permit plan, and those users would have a permit to use that public area during the designated hours. But I've never seen any restriction on, you know, for instance, you know, no MetroLink or no construction users, but everybody else can. It would be difficult, you know, as a practical matter, it would be difficult to enforce unless everybody else has a permit, because how would the police know whether the person parked there is a construction worker or MetroLink?
That, of course, is my understanding. User. Just the practicalities, I'm just saying. I kind of like this fifth guy's suggestion. I think maybe 2 hours would be better, but as with the point of going to lunch or whatever. But if you do an all the time 2-hour restriction, I mean, not even the residents can't park there. That's the problem. It seems like his idea of a 10 to 4 or some similar time period, coupled with a 2-hour, makes a lot of sense. I mean, I went by there several times because I've been running errands today and got a lot of data on who was parking where, and then discovered that WashU's on break, so it's irrelevant, essentially. But that would take care of that problem as well. I think a daytime 2-hour looks good to me. I don't understand what else would be better.
But a certain time frame, of course.
Yeah, you know, 8 to 4, 10 to 4, whatever it is.
Yeah, I like that idea, too, the 2-hour restriction.
Something that would cover, well, there's breakfast at Colleen's for sure, so that needs to be a turnover, and then a turnover for lunch.
What time does Colleen's open?
I don't really know.
No, I think it's 7 or 8.
7 o'clock, yeah.
7 o'clock.
Does that even come up as a problem? Because if they're going to go to lunch to breakfast at whatever that is in that last building, Colleen's or whatever, they're not going to be there all. They're not parked.
Right, right. They're not going to be there.
They're there. They're gone. So that's doesn't seem like that's going to be a big deal. You want it to not have people parking all day for MetroLink or WashU or whatever. That's the goal.
Maybe after 5.
I see it anyway. Okay.
Councilman Hale, since you brought it up, the issue, is this something that you would be amenable to, or
are you set on the 1 hour?
You know, I don't know how long people have their coffee or their lunch. I think, you know, certainly you can have a longer lunch. I think probably 1 or 2 hours would deter the all-day parking. I think the people who are causing the challenges over there are the people who are showing up, whether it be 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning, and not leaving until 5 or sometimes several days later when they get back from a trip.
What about putting parking meters there with a 2-hour max, and then after 5 o'clock, just let anyone park? Hopefully the residents would park there after 5 or after 7 when the meters aren't enforced, and the city would make a little bit of money, and, you know, the meter would say 2-hour max or something like that. So if someone wanted an hour, they put 4 quarters in. If they wanted 2 hours, they put 8 quarters in.
I would need to check on that. I'm not sure if we allow parking meters in front of residents.
But it's on the street, right?
Well, you know, it's the next subject, I think, Zone 3 on the parking study that might have those, you know, Forsyth Boulevard between Big Ben and Forest Park Hartford. The study is being undertaken for it. And so if that result comes back as they make this a pay parking area, then something like that is possible. Right now, Errol is right. He cannot do it, because the code needs to be amended for it. You know, we're only authorized to establish pay parking zones in certain areas per the code.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because there are some meters on Dell now.
Yeah, those codified.
I could understand on like Del Mar, which is a county street or north, you know, that's not a U City street, but on a U City street, we should be able to put a meter right
in front of residences.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's the hard part of putting in front of residences. Oh, right. It's not residential.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
And the other issue would be cost effectiveness. It's nine spots. Is that going to be cost effective to put those in and dig up the street and take a little bit of money up front to do that?
What on this
pace?
Yeah, sure.
What?
We can ask the trolley to help us out. Sorry.
The dig.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? Are you okay with us not doing anything tonight until we talk about the parking study? I mean, is this something that's pressing?
The parking study is not, we're just starting the process of talking about what the parking study is going to encompass.
Correct.
So the parking study, I think, is a number of months away from being complete.
You'd like to get
my preference would be to try to find some solution that would provide some relief, but also allow these businesses to have customers or have spaces to be able to
park. There we go. Mr. Hales is asking us for action.
So
in honor of Mr. Tate's birthday today, I'm going to ask you to stop because we got the message loud and clear that you want us to take action. Right? Does anybody want to make a motion on either the two-hour parking or the one-hour parking?
Only if you want to.
Is it premature if we don't have the results of the parking study?
No. I mean, my opinion on this with that input was mostly on the pay parking part. As for the for the parking study results, but not for the now the 1 hour or 2 hour discussion. So,
when is the parking study supposed to be completed?
It's an ongoing process.
That's the next item.
We're going to talk about it. Start talking about it.
Are we going to make a recommendation before we have the results back? That's what
we're making a recommendation because. This 1 to 2 hour will not be affected by the parking study.
Okay.
The parking study could affect whether or not we could actually put in meters. But 1 or 2 hour parking can be done, and then that other topic could be brought up later.
Could I make a motion?
Certainly.
I move that we have restricted parking to 2 hour parking between the hours of 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. In the 7300 block of
Forsyth. There's a motion on the floor to restrict parking for 2 hours on that 7300 block of Forsyth from 9 o'clock in the morning until 5 in the evening.
Second that.
And we have a second.
I just want to discuss to the record that the motion was made by Ms. Schaefer and seconded by Mr. Tears.
That is correct. Thank you, Mr. Hales.
I'm in agreement, but I think that the starting time probably needs to be 7 to accommodate Colleen's breakfast business versus 9.
Noted. So would you like to make an amendment to that first motion?
I move that we make an amendment to the first motion from 9 to 7 a.m., so 7 to
5. 7 to 5.
Monday through Friday.
So we have a motion on the floor to amend the original motion to increase the time of restriction from 9 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, that motion was made by Commissioner
Sorensen.
Do we have to second that now?
We have to second that.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Hughes.
Any discussion?
Any discussion?
I do just have one comment on that. I think the thing to consider with that is for the residents who live there, that would then require them, I suppose that they wouldn't have to move until 9 o'clock, so maybe that wouldn't impact them too much. That was just what I was thinking.
Yes, and you were thinking they would have to
leave
by 7.
Until 9 in the morning, I think that's not unreasonable. So
I looked at that area in most of those, I think all of those, the possible exception of the Four family down there, have driveways and apparent back parking.
And one of the survey respondents said that all of them have something in the back.
Then the residents are likely to park back there if there's any kind of issue.
They do. A number of them, though, have, for a two-unit, have a two-car garage, so it does get tight in the ability to turn around. They were built in the 20s.
If we pass this motion, make it from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., you're still saying the residents wouldn't have to move until 9? They wouldn't have to move at 7?
Well, the clock would then, enforcement would start at 7, and they'd have 2 hours.
Oh, right. They could theoretically be the first one in that spot for 2 hours.
They're already in the spot.
Yeah, quite right over there. It could be in the spot because they already are.
So at 9 o'clock, there you are waiting.
For what it's worth, looking at the comments from the residents, those look like there was three who support this and a couple who disagree. Two of the three gave hours.
Right.
One said between 8 to 5 Monday to Saturday, 1 hour. And then the other one said 1 hour between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So those are the tenants, not the owners, right?
Those are the owners.
Those are the tenants.
It doesn't. One's an apartment, and well, both of them are apartment dwellers. So presumably they don't own, but
there's a possibility.
Possible, yeah.
Okay. So
all right. So we have a motion on the floor to amend the original motion to include the hours of 7 to 5 o'clock as a restriction Monday through Friday on the 7300 block of
47.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda.
Actually, the party need to now vote on the amended motion. Well, we voted on the amendment to the original motion.
And so we need to
which the amendment passed. Now we need to vote on the original motion.
Correct. So now we need to vote on the original motion, which was the restriction on 7300 block, but it now includes the amendment. Although we were voting for the amendment, but now we have to include the original motion since it had the original one. All those in favor of the original motion?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
And no restrictions Saturday or Sunday apply, right? Monday through Friday.
The original motion only included Monday through
Someone said Saturday too on the comments. No, you cannot.
The next item on the agenda is the parking study. Mr. Tate?
We are bringing this to the Traffic Commission. We have already presented to council in a study session, and they are in agreement with us moving forward with the actual parking study as of right now. City Manager wanted us to bring it to the Traffic Commission for their input and insight on the direction we should go in with this park study. So there's a task list that's inside of Lock Mueller's proposal to us. One, obtain parking information from the city that would be relevant to this study, including possible GIS files and parking restrictions and maps and so on. Perform on-street parking observations, summarize field data, research parking strategies, as well as recommend parking management strategies, document findings, and also attend meetings and help us figure out what we should be doing with our parking. We did identify three zones, the first zone being the loop area extending to Vernon over to Washington, that's north and south, and then east would be to the city limits on Lemon Street, and then to the west would be Kings Avenue, and zone 2 and 3 would cover certain areas that are adjacent to Clayton, such as Forsyth, and then those streets that are off of Jackson, in the Jackson area. Pershing, Kingsbury, and such areas in that. The only other thing was that was asked at the council study session was to do zone 1 by itself or zone 2 and 3 and zone 1 together. And we were agreed with doing all three zones together to actually encompass all of the parking study at one time. And that's why not only to introduce you all to Kelly Schaefer, who's our traffic engineer, but but also to, she is the one who made the proposal, and if you have any questions for her, she can speak a little bit more about the parking study as well.
So these are just, these three areas are the only ones that are being studied right now?
As of right now, yes.
Is this in the future plan to be comprehensive in the entire city, or?
I think these areas right now are our problem areas that have come to us. I haven't identified any extra problem areas right now.
Because these are the most dense areas.
Right.
You know, a little bit more clarification on that. The work plan that the city manager presented with the council included the downtown parking study, and that would be the downtown would be, I think, the zone one in this case. And so, but then there was a CIP amendment, the capital improvement program amendment, proposed for adding these two zones to the study. And so then it became the larger study, pretty much, of the combined total of the 1, 2, and 3. There is no intent so far to make it a citywide study. But, you know, this work plan also was a fiscal year 19, that is the current fiscal year, and fiscal year 20 plan, a two-year work plan that the city manager shared with the council. And so... It's very likely that in the next work plan, that would be 21, 22, then there will be, of course, according to the results from this study, if there is more need to study parking further, then those other, you know, citywide areas can be added.
What kind of things are you looking for from us as far as feedback? Is there anything specific at night, or is it just kind of right now still in that very early stage? You may go to the mic. You don't have to.
I don't have to. Errol and I actually drove around.
Do you need it for the...
It would be helpful.
Sorry, it would be helpful.
It would be helpful for the report.
I apologize.
So I have already gotten some initial input from Errol, actually last week. From like 11 to 12, we drove around. He kind of drove me through all the zones, some of the issues, kind of pointing out what kind of residential areas, if it's, you know, someone's actual home or if it's WashU. So getting an idea of that and then kind of some of the issues that he was aware of. So in like pointing out Clayton, Centene, those kind of impacts. So those are the things that we're going to be looking for when we do our observations. So like in there, we list that we're going to do observations, taking more of like a general inventory, not this block has five on the east side of the street and we passed it at 7:30 and it had three parked cars. We're not trying to overwhelm with data. We were trying to get like a general observation idea what's going on, you know, how full does this seem, what kind of percentage. It helps us keep an eye on what kind of vehicles we're seeing. Is there turnover? We can watch people's patterns, see if people, who's walking around? Does it look like a student? Does it look like someone that's going to work? That's what we're intending to do with observations. So Errol did a good job with me going through some of the issues for each zone, but that's, I mean, further input's always appreciated and going through the study. Ms. Schaefer?
How will these observations be done?
So we will be driving around in a car. So I'll probably be shotgun, have a driver so that I'm able to look at everything from 1 to 7 and from 3 to 7 on 2 days. That's our plan right now. So. And I'm kind of from the area too. I live just in Dogtown. I've been here. I was here on the loop on Saturday and on Monday night. So even just my general observations from being in the area, you know, they're already adding to what I know about the parking in certain areas. Not as much as the residential. I'm not driving down a bunch of streets, but.
So the actual observation are just taking place on 2 days?
Mm-hmm. A weekday and a Saturday.
And there was a preference by the council at the study session about the time of the year to observe this.
We wanted to address it before graduation. So before WashU's graduation.
Right.
We would definitely do this when school is in session. Generally, with traffic studies, we want to do that when school, schools, WashU, middle schools, high schools, whatever, are in session.
But then just 2 days. It's not like it's a two-day thing, and then it's not carrying on for a couple weeks, but it's just 2 days.
And we would find a day, like for the weekday and the weekend, also a day where the weather's nice, you know, days that is supposed to actually represent a typical day, where you would see the loop active and people walking and wanting to be in the area, not just on their couch at home. So
you wouldn't pick like Mardi Gras with thousands of WashU college students throwing beer cans and urinating. Oh, sorry. That's another topic.
How many people would be on your team to do the survey?
The whole survey, it'll be me and another person doing the actual observations. Is that what your question was?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, sir. And with that, I'm looking at the, we were looking at the price here. Is this like a savings? Because together it would equal $28,000 and we have $24,000 combined. Is that a savings?
Yeah, so the savings
kind
of.
Both at the same time?
Mm-hmm. You know, so say we did, say this year you did zone one and next year you do zone two and three. Mm-hmm. Both times we would produce a report, which there's time that goes into just making a report, doing some of the summaries, kind of those are some of the efficiencies.
Then if the city decided to do both, is that price negotiable, the $24,000?
Yeah, I mean, we still haven't signed a contract.
Okay.
We can also still negotiate scope, too. You know, if there are different hours that you actually want to be included, you know, that's still something that's open. Thinking probably like every 30 minutes, that's normal, you know, but we didn't lock down a complete, we were going to tally each parking spot. So kind of the general idea was, say we're already noticing this one street doesn't need a lot of attention, maybe we can focus our efforts, not every 30 minutes here, but maybe every hour so we can look at something else. It is a little bit broader of a parking study scope. Not that we're trying to not give you good information, but we're trying to maybe encompass as much as we can and include as much as we can. So it's more comprehensive for the results.
Okay.
But I would say probably every 30 minutes to an hour.
And what's the ultimate deliverable? Like, so the report's finished now. So what does that allow us to do?
So the report would end up telling you, kind of like, say, zone one, this street, we notice it's 75% parked. And we also notice there's not turnover. So then we try to... You know, from our perspective, we can give you, like, what's happening as far as parking goes, and then understanding what kind of uses are around it. You know, the same thing we were just talking about with the residential versus the breakfast spot. You know, who's parking here? What can we do to get them to turn over? Are they staying for 3 days straight? Applying different, is it a residential permit, the hourly parking because someone's too close to Clayton? A paid parking strategy, stuff like that. Those would be the recommendations, as well as showing you how much parking, how occupied it normally is. But then also, like, for the future, so say certain street is 90% occupied these certain hours. Say someone wants to redevelop one of the lots, you might be able to then just have more proof to say there's not parking on the street if you're planning on how are you going to provide parking for your employees so that those businesses come up with an actual plan for their parking.
I see the way these zones are set up. Two of these zones, looks like one and three seem to be primarily WashU areas. And zone two, I'm not sure what the goal is on the zone two area because that area, I guess you could have some commuter parking that was in there because of the MetroLink that's nearby. But the Centene isn't really going yet. Centene, you're talking about the workers, the construction people. Actually, I have an anomalous situation. I'm wondering if it's even worthwhile to look at that at the moment. because you don't even know what's going to be going on. When they get done in a couple of years on the 17 project, it's going to be completely different looking.
Mr. Tate, do you want to speak to what people are talking about already?
Well, what initially WashU student parking is sort of primarily the driving force of the parking study, with residents not being able to find parking, patrons not being able to find parking because we do have those overnight parkers.
I got that for one and
three. Yeah, right, right. And then for the zone that's close to Centene is actually where we have people from Clayton that are parking in the neighborhoods and staying long periods of time. And also we have the forthcoming Centene project, which we are predicting that people that don't want to pay to park in that garage are going to pay or want to park on large streets for free, essentially, and walk to Clayton. So that's why we're including that.
Well, I don't have a question whatsoever that that's going to happen. My thing is just that I don't know if right now it's even representative of what's going to happen.
Right. There's no way of us telling what's going to happen, but we already see what's happening.
If you already see something going on, right. Like, and then you're going to have more of it. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. Certainly, there is that sentiment that yes, something monstrous is happening over there on the other side of the borderline. And especially if we observe something now, is it now to take action or maybe just limited, no Clayton affiliated uses to park in University City areas? We've already, I think, received one residential parking permit request from the 7300 block on Maryland up there, Upper Maryland.
Maryland, up near Maryland and Westmoreland, in which Clayton, those blocks are split between Clayton and U City, and Clayton has implemented 2-hour parking only on those upper sections. And so, of course, on our section, we don't have any implementation of that permit or 2-hour parking for those. So do we do that for the rest of that block? Because there are parkers that will park behind that Clayton boundary into U City for hours at a time.
Fair enough.
Is this just informational or you want us to make a motion?
No motion, just information that we'll take back and including our study.
Any comments? The parking management strategies, probably our council will also ask, would we compare them as a result of this study to what others are doing? Do you have any comments for that?
I haven't started doing any of that kind of research. It'll be interesting, too, though, to see what we see, what we collect. You know, and that's going to guide where we take the study and what kind of recommendations we look into and make.
Is there any reason why, and I don't know if the area south of Forsyth is are private streets or not. I didn't think they were.
That's the Northmore is the only street that we have that's south of Forsyth, and actually most of that block is residential parking permit only right now.
Is it parking? Okay, it's parking permit, then that takes care of it now. So, okay, that was a basic question. Why not look at that?
Yeah. So we're just really pushing, once we put in a residential parking permit system, they're going to build somewhere else in the park, of course, because Northmore was one of our latest implementations into the residential parking permit system.
All right, any other discussion? We'll be able to move on to Mr. Tate's
for commission approved for us to move forward with
what's that?
Parking study. Will the commission approve of the question?
We
forward?
Do have it, so you do need this approval.
Yeah. Well, I want you to take the council.
So do you need a motion for that, or like a full approval, or you're just getting our general consensus?
Let's make it official. Make a motion.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
I move that we approve the parking study as described.
Second. There's a motion on the floor from
Mrs. Schaefer.
Who's going to take this? I got a ton. And then a second from Mr. Tears. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And we just lost our council liaison, so we're not going to have a council liaison report this evening. Is there any miscellaneous business that needs to be discussed?
I got a
as soon as they found out I was going to be on the traffic commission, the first question was, we have this street here, and there's a problem. And I don't know if this is, I'm not even bringing this up. I'm actually asking a question, and perhaps it's Mr. Tate's most appropriate person to ask on this. It's a, Oak Brook is a boulevard. It's a pretty wide center. And the question that was asked to me, which obviously I couldn't answer, was, gosh, we have people that go down again, and they stop again, and then they power right through the whole way across, and there's often a squealing of brakes because they don't realize that that's a double street. What kind of, I mean, they haven't come up and asked for anything here, obviously. I don't know if there was, if you, the policy was at some distance, you put another stop sign or what.
I would suggest that we look at the actual traffic that's coming through there, and we could possibly put in a yield sign. I don't think it would probably warrant a stop sign, mm-hmm. because there's not enough traffic coming through there to warrant an actual stop sign, but we would have to look at the data and see what's going on. And I know a lot of people are cutting through there because of the construction that's on Del Mar mm-hmm. and at night right now, so
they're probably going to block the traffic right now because of that. Well, they could cut. I just been telling them, hey, traffic commission's right here.
Yeah, that would suggest to them just have them come up and get into a meeting, and then they can, if they really want to push it, they can fill out a form that has a traffic request included. They can come up with an idea of what they would like to see.
Do you know when that construction on Del Mar is going to begin?
It should. We can start back up here soon. They were on winter break. So.
Okay.
They're hoping by 2020.
I'm thinking it'll be done by the end of April. It should be finished by the end of April, if not soon.
Okay.
There's not a lot more they have to do.
Yeah, it looks like it's almost done.
Yes.
Any other questions, concerns, comments?
Hearing none, I need.
Well, I always forget. Do we need a motion to end the meeting or just adjourn, correct? We don't need a motion for that.
We do need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
You have a second? Sure. All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned at
7:13.
7:18.
7:18.